Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together, we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
So, welcome. Today, we're going to talk about what breaking free is to us, what it means for the podcast, and what it means for you, our listener.
We're going to talk about breaking free in the scope of what that looks like internally and externally. Tiffany, tell me what breaking free means to you.
So breaking free really is anything, breaking free from anything that limits my ability to be fully empowered, to live authentically, and to continue to grow. So that really has been a variety of things over the years. Initially for me, it was breaking free from substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, things like cigarettes. It meant really getting away from self-harm. It meant breaking free from depression and a lot of pain. It also became something that I wanted to go deeper with. And so that really looked like breaking free from all of the things that make me want to numb out and all of the ways in which I, you know, get in, all the habits that I have that allow me to numb out.
Tell me all of the habits.
All the habits. Oh, my gosh. Well, definitely, you know, using, I used all kinds of things, all kinds of substances. So everything from, you know, marijuana, amphetamines. I used diet pills. I used cigarettes. I was a 2-pack-a-day smoker.
Yeah.
I loved it. And even, you know, I drank 64 ounces of Mountain Dew every day. It's pretty incredible. A lot of people meet me now, and it's hard to even imagine. I also, you know, use TV. I've used sex. I've used shopping. I've used, you know, any of those things that really keep me from being fully present in my body. But the thing is that there really is a reason for that. And so I have to address the underlying causes, things like pain and trauma and you know, family of origin stuff. And I was a young mother, and there was a lot of like guilt in that. There's a lot of shame in having been somebody who, you know, used heavily, and a lot of the behaviors that I had caused a lot of shame, and that shame was something I was numbing out to get away from. So all of those things that, you know, all of the habits of numbing out is something that I'm still actively working on breaking free from, although it's so much more minimal now. So, so I would say that's really the foundation for me of my recovery. And breaking free represents to me freedom from all of that so that I can truly live the life that I want to live, so that I can have more joy, more freedom, so that I can truly be empowered. Empowerment is really important to me. And I know it's kind of a buzzword now, but I think that you and I both want to help instill the recovery community with an understanding of having self-direction and autonomy and agency over our lives. And that really is empowerment to me, having the ability to live in that way.
What are some of the ways that you have broken free?
Oh, so many things. Well, I am sober. I've been in recovery for, well, gosh, I went to treatment when I was 16, and I'm nearly 40. So,
wow, she is lucky, folks.
So yeah, this June it'll be 21 years sober for me. So, so you know, I no longer use alcohol or.
That means you're an adult then.
I'm full. I can drink. No, because I'm 21 now, right?
Yeah, so. That's how it works. Oh wait.
never mind. Not really how it works. So I've broken free from that. I haven't smoked for 18 years now.
How did you stop?
Oh, man. That was so challenging.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So we had we have a program. It's like 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's a national program now. I think
I've heard about that. Don't they send you an incessant amount of text messages?
We didn't even have cell phones.
No. I don't know why I'm making fun because we're the same age.
Oh my gosh. I got a workbook and I got free patches from them and I used those and I had support people in my life and that's how I did it. It was a really interesting experience. Actually, my ex said that there was no way I was going to quit. So I quit pretty much out of spite. So thank you for that.
Powerful motivator. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was pretty incredible. And that was actually huge for me. And, you know, really now I'm focusing on breaking free from disordered eating. And that's the work that I do. I coach women to heal their relationship with food. And there's so many layers to that.
What's one of the overarching principles that you use?
So we use intuitive eating, and it is so empowering. And that's actually, we'll loop back to this in further episodes too. That's actually a big part of my journey and really realizing that just because something, you know, worked for me in the past or just because I had this idea that I should do, you know, we'll talk about it more about 12-step recovery. Mm-hmm. I actually, in finding intuitive eating and realizing that so many things were shaming and stigmatizing, I chose to no longer participate in things that really kept me in that place or, you know, in any program that tells me I'm broken.
Yeah.
I'm not broken.
No.
I'm not. And I don't need to be fixed.
And so it's the change in belief that's the way in which you've broken free.
Yeah. So that's a great point. So mindset has been a huge piece of that. And I think we're going to talk about that a lot in this podcast today, but also, and that'll be an overarching theme, our own mindset and then the cultural conditioning and, you know, the systems that really set us up. And so we talked about the external piece. So those are the things, you know, the external piece of the things I think you and I really want to challenge.
Yeah.
So that'll be something, you know, sometimes our listeners might be challenged as well.
Yeah.
But really, we want to challenge those systems that keep us small. Yeah. So really, in the recovery community, you know, you and I are talking about 12-step. We're talking about, you know, stigmatizing language and that cultural conditioning. But I think for me, there's been breaking free from diet culture, the diet industry. They profit $166 billion a year off of us believing that we're broken.
Yeah.
And another thing that I've broken free from is our healthcare system. So I'm an RN and I worked at the hospital for the past 12 years. And it is a system that's really set up to just drain you completely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're told you should take a break, but it's like a stick, you know, like you're not, they're like beating you up with self-care. And it's crazy making because you can never do as much work as needs to be done. It's so hard to walk away feeling like you've done well for your patients that day and that you've really helped people. So I feel like our healthcare system is another system that is, that contributes to keeping, you know, workers small.
Yeah.
So breaking free from the hospital is another one for me. I left in November and it's been the best decision of my life. Yeah.
You know what that deserves, Tiffany.
Oh, we've got a bell. Thank you. Yeah, it's so incredible. It has been so empowering. But it took all of these other pieces to really know that I deserve that and know that I can have a bigger impact in the world outside of those systems.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, how about you, Liv?
Oh my gosh. I think we, you know, the reason why we're such good friends is we have such a similar story too. You know, I think there is this rite of passage for many people in recovery that you deal with the most harmful behavior first. So for me, that was substance use disorder. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as much as I hate that peeling back the layers of the onion phrase, it just, oh my God, the amount of times that I wanted to punch someone.
Cliche.
I know. I'm like, just give me a knife and I'll cut that bloody onion open.
And then I'll cut you.
Yeah.
We don't cut
people. I'm the one that likes to rip the plaster off. Mm. Oh, the band-aid. Mm-hmm. we'll introduce you to my alter ego, Charlene, at some point during these episodes.
when you hear her voice change, you know it's Charlene showing up.
Okay. So, I mean, the harmful behaviors first with substance use disorder, you know, at the end of my addiction, I was drinking 4 or 5 bottles of wine a day. taking, we were laughing about this the other day, that I would be taking codeine prophylactically because I thought I was going to get a migraine. And then I was just in this horrible spiral. But the beginning of my addiction was amphetamines too, when I was a teenager. And then, you know, once I had managed to get a short period of time in recovery, I'd been sober for, I think, about 18 months. I then stopped smoking. And then I started to uncover my relationship with my body and with food. And that was really challenging for me. And that's still ongoing today. I mean, I'm not sure it will ever fully be in tune, although I would hope we get to that place someday. I was about 2 years in recovery, and I'd go to meetings and I'd be thinking about what food I was going to get on the way home. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, I recognize this behavior. Mm-hmm. So I had to break free from that. I had to break free from the conditioning within 12-step programs. So I was in a huge level of burnout. And one of the things I'm going to be writing my book on is how the lack of trauma-informed care within a 12-step program led to the fact that I wasn't diagnosed with PTSD, complex PTSD, until I was 5 years in recovery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the conditioning that I had was, you just need to go to a meeting. That was the answer to everything. You just need to go to a meeting. Mm-hmm. So I had to break free from that. I had to break free from this monotonous life that I had. Mm. And I'm breaking free from my life in England. You know, I was born in the States originally, despite my accent. Yesterday, someone asked if I was German. I've never had that before.
She gets it all.
I get Australian all the time. So, breaking free from a small life was huge for me.
Yeah. And so you've talked about your journey a little bit, but you came over from England.
Yeah.
You just like flew here. And everybody, I think that deserves a bell.
Our listeners are probably going to end up breaking free from our bell at some point.
Oh, no.
No, don't do that. I moved here with no firm plans. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anywhere to live. It was pretty life-changing. But in so many ways, I feel like really that was the beginning of my recovery, because at the same time I left 12-step fellowships. Mm-hmm. So I broke free from all of that conditioning and all of the things that weren't working for me. And that's when I really found myself. Mm. You know, I was left with me. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nothing really to hold on to. Mm. So breaking free from all of those things. But what was also interesting is I realized the ways in which I was still stuck. So I was still reliant upon my family's approval was still sort of seeking a motherly figure and wanting them to approve of my behavior. Yeah,
rather than self and like being empowered and self-mothering.
But you know, what was interesting is I realize now that I had no sense of self. Mm. And I think that's my problem with some fellowship activities, is that it can create a level of dependence where you can't trust yourself and you have to ask permission to do things. Mm. So in some ways, it creates that inability to be able to make decisions for yourself.
Yeah. You know? All right. We're going to take a pause here so that we can hear from our awesome sponsors.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alano Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you. Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception. Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back. a big part of why I decided to leave 12-step, because I felt like I was being told that I can't trust myself.
Yes.
And that to me was so disempowering.
Yeah.
and shaming and a really harmful message. And, you know, I think that comes from when people first come in the rooms. Well, we're going to go into that more in another podcast. I don't want to get too far into it this episode, but I think it comes from that we have broken trust with ourselves.
Yes.
And so we have to learn to rebuild that trust within ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we can rebuild that through connection and through honoring our needs and our bodies. We can rebuild that trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in doing that, we explore who we are. You know, we gain an identity. And our identity isn't necessarily linked to being a person in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we actually go back to the roots of this program, you know, it's that it was supposed to be a bridge to normal living. And, you know, for us, I think, you know, breaking free means that we are living our lives, we are thriving independently. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our goal. So yeah, I mean, I think those are the main ways that I've broken free. Oh, there is one other thing, is the lack of boundaries. Oh my God, we're going to have an entire episode on boundaries.
At least one. At least probably one. Multiple.
Yeah. Yeah. I realized that, you know, in setting boundaries, I've had a lot of pushback in my close relationships with people with boundaries. And, you know, what's that saying? The only people that... that give you aggro for setting a boundary are the people that benefited from you not having one in the first place. Mm-hmm. So that's really challenging, especially when you are from a household where there has been substance use. There is, you know, certain traits. If you look at the Fellowship Adult Children of Alcoholics, there's like this laundry list of traits. And one of those things is when you set, you know, something difficult happens, you take on the responsibility of making everything okay. Mm-hmm. So nobody really talks about setting a boundary. Actually, there's this period of time afterwards. I think Veronica talks about it, our friend Veronica Valley. Mm-hmm. The how to cope with the setting of the boundary afterwards, that kind of afterburn, I think she calls it. And that's so true. Mm-hmm. So breaking free from that. And also, I think, when I describe myself as a writer, I get this really kind of warm, intriguing reaction from people. Mm-hmm. They're really fascinated by that. But when I say I'm a journalist, there's some stigma attached to that. So I'm kind of breaking free from that too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are all the ways I'm breaking free. What do you think that means for our podcast?
So we're going to talk about all of these pieces. And I think the focus is going to be really heavily leaning toward enabling growth within ourselves and within the community.
Yeah.
And so I think this podcast, we really want it to be a reflection of those things, and we're learning too. So, you know, we may say things that later down the road we're like cringe, right?
Yeah.
Because the language is changing. And so we're going to really dive into all of those issues and bring them forward. So we're going to be speaking not only to the individual, but also to the community as a whole. And even, you know, to each other. We wanted to do this together because we were helping each other stretch and grow in our mindset. For me in particular, when we met, I was still occasionally going to 12-step and I was feeling conflicted about it. And I was still using some pretty shaming terms. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the food piece and diet culture and all of that. And I think we've both really allowed our minds to be more open. And so we want to bring that quality to this podcast. And of course, we want to hear from our listeners. So what do you think it's going to be? What does that mean for you in terms of our listeners and our podcast?
I think it means, you know, if we're presenting it in a way of curiosity and shared experience, then, you know, people are more likely to reflect in a way how they might be more open to breaking free from those things. Mm. You know, like our conversations, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where I said, oh, do you want to use that phrase? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some evidence here. And, you know, a lot of my opinion is fluid, because I too have used stigmatizing terms. I too have told people to go to meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things that we're talking about, I think what's different with us is that we have this growth mindset, right? And I think that's what we want to instill in our listeners, is this open-mindedness to consider an alternative option, and this open-mindedness to consider that there are ways that we can break free. There's no one way, but also being open to science and evidence. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of my growth has come from, is actually reading the papers of some really incredible scientists that we have out there, which we'll probably have on the podcast at some point. Mm-hmm. There's actually a journal of recovery science now.
That's
which is
so
really
exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we give them a bell?
Yeah, we should give them a bell. Robert, we're thinking about you. Robert Ashford and Austin Brown. Okay, great. So, yeah, I think breaking free together is what's really important to us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think our goal is really to, you know, break through those systems that are shaming and stigmatizing. And like you mentioned, bring together the lived experience, of the variety of lived experience of people who are in recovery or who desire, you know, a path of recovery, and to empower each individual to have their own autonomy, self-direction, agency in their recovery and in their life, so that we can all grow together. So I'm so excited for this. We of course want to hear from you. So if there's topics that you want us to cover, if you have a differing opinion, we love to really talk about these things. We do have a Facebook group. It's called the Breaking Free Community. Mm-hmm. Please join us over there. Show us what it means to you. We love seeing pictures of people actively breaking free. Yeah. So we were actually taking, I have a gluten intolerance, so we were eating gluten-free cupcakes, and there was bacon from breakfast. We were like, this is breaking free, gluten-free cupcakes with paleo bacon, like whatever
together,
we want.
Together. Together we're breaking free, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. All right.
Wonderful.
Thank you all so much. Do you have any last thoughts, Liv?
No, I really want to hear from what it means to people to break free. And also, you know, the ways in which that makes them feel uncomfortable, right? Mm. Let's challenge those. Let's, you know, let's have an open discussion about what is bothering someone, but they don't know what step to take next, or there's a way in which someone is breaking free, but they've feel an opposition towards that. Let's get into those conversations.
Those are great conversations, because I think there's so much learning that's possible, and understanding, and knowing that just because something's right for me doesn't mean it's right for you.
Yeah.
But it's okay for me to know what's right for me too.
Yeah, and that it's okay that we have differing opinions.
Yeah, and different needs.
Yeah, and that I can respect if you know, when we talk about the fact that we've left 12-step fellowships, this is the perfect example. We're not saying we don't respect people that have that pathway and that's what works for them. Mm-hmm. We absolutely support you. Mm-hmm. We're just saying that this is what has changed for us.
Yeah. And I got so much value from the program, and it was really something that, you know, and everything's different now. There's the internet.
the
internet, I know. You know, things are totally different now. But that was something that I relied on heavily. Yeah. And I've worked the steps multiple times through, and that was life-changing for me. But I had to get to a point where I could honor who I am today and how, and you've talked about this, like that it's fluid and that my needs are different, and that I am in a place where I want to feel empowered. I don't want to have that language around me right now. And so, and that doesn't mean that it's not like I'll never go again. You know, I don't know. But it means for me right now, that's not the thing that supports me as much.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll go into more of that, but I think, those conversations are something we want to have. And I know people can, sometimes it can feel threatening. And so being able to talk through that and, you know, kind of have patience and love and tolerance and kind of unconditional respect for each other's path is really important. And so that's something that we definitely want to bring to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And empowerment in the sense that, it's okay to be curious about something, because I think sometimes we're conditioned to believe that, you know, if we want to try something else, that's the pathway to returning to use, and that's not the case. So empowerment for us means the curiosity and the permission to say, you know, the self-permission to say, this is okay, I want to try this out. And we extend that invitation to you, you know, give yourself permission. Yeah. If you don't already, we suspect you probably do, because that's why you're listening. But
you're here,
if you don't, please do. Okay.
All right. And we're gonna give each other that permission too. So thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, Your Recovery, Your Way.
We want to hear from you.
Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.
Tell us what Breaking Free means to you.